everybody. Ruby Rider here. Welcome to Pegging Paradise podcast number 248 on November 12th, 2019. Change in the world, one ass at a time. I have so much to cover that I'm going to skip all the intro stuff, and we're going to jump right into Movember donations. If you have just found this podcast, I am doing a Movember fundraiser to raise awareness of prostate cancer, testicular cancer, and also for men's mental health and suicide prevention. It's going all this month. I'm doing 2 miles a day, as opposed to growing a mustache. And here are more donations toward my goal of $1,000. Jay kindly donated $10, Michael, $5, Deepak, $50, Bill, $20, Michelle, $10, Amanda, $20, and Barry for $10. And Barry made the really interesting move of joining my Sex Educators of the World team. That's the $10 went towards the Sex Educators of the World team. Because, as we all know, by being sex-positive people, we are by default sex educators, right? So now, the total is $370 for the team and $360 for Ruby. So, Barry, if you wanted to compete with me and see if we can outraise each other, I'm totally down for that, dude. Thank you so much. I was waiting for one person to join the team. And even if that's the only person that does, that is the team that's going to show up next year too. Sex Educators of the World, because even if you don't do sex education as a profession or a career, by being a sex positive person, you are indeed a sex educator.
And I have gone 44 out of 96 miles. Now, normally when you do 2 miles a day, it's just for the month of November, and it'll add up to 60 miles at the end. And the significance of that number 60 is that one man commits suicide on global average every single minute of every single day, very sadly. So Movember is working really hard to change that. I have 96 miles that my goal is because I started early. I posted all this stuff up early and I said, hey, I'm going to start doing those 2 miles a day as soon as somebody gives me a donation. And the very next day someone did, so 2 miles a day. Now, I haven't been to the gym every single day, but I am keeping up with my totals here. I took a week off, you guys. Oh my God. Well, Max came to visit and that was really, really fun. It involved some very exciting chastity belt play and all kinds of stuff. But I didn't do any exercise, and then other things got in the way, and before I knew it, I was a week down, right? And then I tweaked my knee, and it's kind of like, what the hell? But I was back at the gym yesterday. I did 10 miles, 2 on the elliptical, and 8 on the stationary bicycle, which is a little bit easier. So I'm catching up, you guys. I'm totally catching up. And I wanted to put 2 more links for anybody who has any interest in the Linkorama that I found when I was just kind of cruising around in the category of men's suicide prevention by way of gathering with other men and learning how to bond and talk about your feelings and get together and share. And those 2 organizations are mankindproject.org and everyman.com. Everyman is spelled a little bit differently. It's everyman.com. So I'm going to put those in the Linkorama. One of them appears to have links to finding local groups, and I'm not sure if it costs anything. And the other is there is a cost, and then they kind of hook you up with your community, your local community. Anyway, you can peruse those, because anything in that category I want to put out there for anybody who is listening. And once again, if anybody needs to talk right now, you can get a hold of somebody at the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-TALK, TALK, 1-800-273-8255. Or there's also a Lifeline Crisis Chat, and I'm going to put the link to that in my Linkorama as well. please do reach out if you need the help. Please do have somebody to talk with. It does help. You know, I've been listening to the Movember podcasts, and there was one with a guy who was standing there on the bridge of the Thames, ready to jump, and somebody talked him down. And he actually works for Movember now. It's an amazing thing. And he had some very interesting things to say as well about mental health, of which he has a mental health condition, and how poorly misunderstood it is. It was a really good podcast to listen to. And I want to recommend heartily all the podcasts that Movember puts out there. So far, I've heard some very poignant and heartwarming stories of men's journeys. And I've also heard a lot about the Movember organization, how people found it, the people that work there, what they do. One of the things that did stand out when I heard about some of the details about Movember was that when it first began and they were sort of overwhelmed with donations, they thought, okay, how are we going to structure all this? And one of the things they really wanted to do was to collaborate with other organizations. I'm so fond of saying, let's create a knowledge base, right? A foundational knowledge base, and put all of our information together and create that base of knowledge so that we have that to draw from. Well, that was the urge that they had as well. But it's really not something that's done very much at all in nonprofit organizations. So people were kind of looking at them and saying, yeah, you're nuts, man, you're going to try this. But they are so, so successful at it. And I think putting all that knowledge together is putting them in an amazing position of having a ton of information about prostate cancer and testicular cancer. And even as something as subtle as, okay, you're a guy, you go into the doctor and you get a diagnosis of prostate cancer. How is that delivered? How is that told to you? What kind of support do you get? Do you get the same kind of support that a woman would? Because that's not quite what they need. And they talked about that as well. So yes, very, very interesting. Clearly, I am deep into the Movember. But thank you all so much for your donations. I am more than a third of the way there, and I am thrilled about that. Thank you. And meanwhile, in the Ruby Rider Empire, we do have some new patrons.
Yes.
Stephen is a new patron for $5 a month. Thank you, Stephen, for your support and your patronage. Mark is a new patron for $5 a month as well. Mark, thank you so much for your generosity. I really appreciate it. Mike signed up for $5 a month. Mike, that means so much to me. Thank you. Stanley is also a new patron for $5 a month. Stanley, that's awesome. I so appreciate your generosity. And Joe is a new patron for $3 a month. Joe, you rock. Thank you so much. I have also received one-time donations from Fred of $20 and Gary of $5. Fred and Gary, you guys are awesome. Thank you so much for the support. It means a lot to me. My next webinars, November 16th, as I keep saying, and a lot of people are signing up. It should be a really fun day. I'm going to do all three webinars, the beginning, the equipment, and the advanced, with breaks in between for meals. It will be webinar day, and it's the free ones. You guys, if you're thinking about taking it and you don't want to pay that $20, this is the day. This is the day. And then I rescheduled my Where Can I Find a Woman to Peg Me webinar. That's going to be next year on January 18th. So that is posted up, and you are welcome to sign up there. If you go to peggingparadise.com and you look on the right-hand side where it says upcoming webinars, you'll get the link for that. All of the upcoming webinars that I have scheduled will be there, and that one in January, the Where Can I Find a Woman to Peg Me, will be there, absolutely. Now I have some announcements to make about some upcoming podcasts that I would love your contributions for. It's time, once again, to do the cross-dressing podcast and the bisexual podcast. So all of you lovely cross-dressing men out there, January 3rd is the deadline for you to send in your contributions and your submissions. And the podcast will be on January 7th. And I'll remind you of this on every podcast until then. And I will also post some stuff in my social media. The Bisexual Podcast has a deadline of January 17th for your submissions. And that would be for the January 20th podcast. That's going to be the bisexual one. And as usual, I'm interested in just your story, whatever you have to tell me about either cross-dressing or bisexuality. Even if it's a pain point in your life, please share if you have any inclination to. All submissions are welcome and appreciated because it's personal stuff, right? But I really, really want to create a space where you guys don't feel alone. It's not, Jesus, I'm the only cross-dressing guy out there. Oh, hell no. Evidenced by my other previous podcasts on bisexuality and cross-dressing. The reason that they scheduled these again is because I got a lovely email from someone who said they ran across the cross-dressing podcasts and just it felt so good to be able to listen to an entire podcast of stories of people that were similar to them. You know, there's nothing quite like that to stop feeling so alone and to let go of some of that ridiculous and so harmful shame that is so easy to feel when we don't fit inside that perfect box of sexuality that society dictates that's so ridiculous. So there you go. Those two podcasts are upcoming. The deadline's January 3rd for cross-dressing, January 17th for bisexuality. Now, let's do some letters. First, I'm going to check back in with the guy who had lost his libido and like couldn't get it hard and everything after having amazing, amazing pegging with his new partner. I heard back from him, and this is what he said. Two kidney stones came out. Surprisingly enough, I had met up with my girlfriend in the morning, and we got me pretty hot, kissing and such, to the point where I was oozing pre-cum in my panties. Then when I peed next, they came out. I'm thinking the pre-cum, which is a lubricant, helped. We have grown our relationship quite fast, but it feels good. Our level of communication is amazing. We are, for the most part, now focused on just happy in love couple stuff, but at times switch into our DS roles, me being her daddy at times, and her being Miss Carol who dominates her little sissy boy. This is an automatic role when she puts on her stockings and puts her stockinged foot up on the bed and tells me which of her high heels to put on her feet. Sometimes it's hard to understand this is really happening. Like one chilly night last weekend, we both spooned while we were wearing satin nightgowns. The pegging is getting even better. We did order a Fieldo more, but I've got a bad feeling it isn't going to show up. Ordered it from a company in Canada. It seemed the best price, but there's no tracking number, no nothing. I'm looking into the company, and it seems they are a bit shady and sell knockoffs from China, so I'm glad I used PayPal. Anyway, take care, Ruby. Hugs, B and C. I am so happy that everything resolved itself and that the passing of the kidney stones doesn't sound like it was horribly traumatic because I've heard stories from guys who talk about how traumatic it can be. So yay for a little lubricant of pre-cum. Yay. Thanks for letting us know how everything turned out and congratulations once again. And you know, before I sign off with you guys, what a beautiful visual you painted there with both of you spooning in your satin nightgowns. That's just gorgeous. It's beautiful. I don't know. I can't think of other words to say. It's heartwarming. It's poignant. It's beautiful though, because it's different. And so what you've been looking for so long, because I've known you for a while. So yes, warms my heart. Yay for you guys. Thanks for sharing that. Here is my next letter, and I've had a couple of responses to the idea about being vocal and passionate, right? Here's the first one. In response to your question about bottoms that are unresponsive, I don't understand that. The only way I can achieve pleasure is to be extremely noisy and extremely responsive when I'm being pegged. I have been so noisy and so loud that I've actually had a partner pull out of me thinking she had hurt me. I literally complained, put it back, put it back. I didn't mean anything. I have even warned my partners before we play that I can be very noisy. Letting loose verbally is one of the ways I increase my pleasure and give my top feedback. And this is John from Houston, the infamous man who hosts the pegging parties. Thank you so much for that contribution, John. It's wonderful to hear from you. And here's another one about being vocal. Fantastic podcast today, as usual. Your commentary on being vocal and expressive and how BDSM and impact play can help develop that muscle was really insightful and gave me lots of ideas of how my girlfriend and I can bring it more into our play. And you tearing up as you recounted a listener's personal story really moved me. I'm so inspired by the work you do, your mission to eradicate shame and create more intimacy through pegging. And this was all so evident in your joyful reaction as you read his story. #NoShame has become a bit of a motto for my girlfriend and I since we both attended one of your webinars recently. It has become a guiding principle of ours and has allowed us to truly open up to one another and reveal ourselves fully in a way that I never thought I would ever experience. So thank you, Ruby. You truly are an inspiration. Thank you for creating this community that I feel proud to be a part of. Thank you for all the work you do to make the world a more understanding, tolerant, and pleasurable place. With love, Mickey. Oh my God, you're going to make me cry. Thank you for all of those lovely words. This is exactly why I do what I do, you guys. #NoShame. Thank you, Mickey, for all of that input. And how wonderful that the being vocal and expressive can develop that muscle. Yeah, that was a really interesting way for you to put it, was developing the muscle of that. Yeah, I like that. Okay, moving along, we heard back from a woman in podcast number 243. She was a giver who really wanted her husband to feel more comfortable asking for pegging. And one of the things you might recall about that podcast was talking about it at the party, right? Saying about the pegging and him saying she wants to fuck me in the ass. And I had a bit of a reaction to that, like, don't say anything at parties. Which is why when this lovely woman responded, this is what she said. Thanks for answering me. I feel like I need to clarify something, however. I'm not the one who brings it up in front of my friends and family. He is. He always says, she wants to put something up my butt, at which time I do mention all the benefits and good it's supposed to feel, but I always say, he will never let me. I think he just wants to hear their response after they hear what I have to say. Anyway, I took your advice and asked him point blank one night after he had a drink. He asked if I think he is gay because he likes it so much. I responded by saying, why would I think you're gay? Do you find guys attractive? Do you get turned on thinking about guys? Do you want a guy sticking his penis in your ass? He said no. So I said, I don't think you're gay. I told him getting off is a biological response to prostate stimulation. Then why on earth would you not want to do something that gives you that much pleasure? He also asked why I want to do it if I don't get off. I responded by asking why he licks me if he doesn't get off. He said he enjoys licking me because it gives me pleasure. And at that moment, I think he realized why I like it. After that conversation, he has been great about asking when he wants it and is more comfortable about letting me know how much he enjoys it. Thank you again for the advice. P.S. He still brings it up in front of people, and I don't know if I should keep doing what I have or just ignore it. Okay, thank you so much for the clarification, and I'm so glad that things have calmed down a little bit. He's feeling more comfortable. He's asking for it. That rocks. That's all really, really cool. Now, as far as the whole in front of other people thing, I appreciate the clarification. Absolutely. I really do. And I find it really kind of interesting, intriguing that he would bring it up. It is possible that he just wants to see what other people's responses are because he's so concerned about people judging him, which is really nobody's fucking business. However, what do I think you should do? I think in a serious moment, you should sit and take both of his hands in yours and look him right in the eye and say, okay, look, I love this pegging thing we're doing. I love that you're more comfortable doing it. I'm not sure why you keep talking about it when we're at parties and things, because it seems a little odd. And it would actually be more comfortable for me if you didn't. I mean, if that's how you truly feel, that's maybe one of the things you can say to him. If you don't mind, if he brings it up, you can just keep saying what you're saying and you guys can play the little game and it's no big deal. And maybe he just needs to do that for some reason. Or you could take both of his hands in yours and you could say, I don't understand why you are saying this when we're at parties and stuff. I don't get it. You know I love to do this. You know why. You're enjoying it. Everything is amazing with the whole pegging thing. I love doing it. But what's up with the bringing it up at parties? I don't get it. So those are a couple of suggestions. If it's not that big of a deal to you and it doesn't make you uncomfortable and he just keeps doing it, you can just keep saying what you're saying, and that might be a little bit of an education for the people at the party. So, you know, there's a bunch of different paths you can choose there, whichever one feels best to you. If it is uncomfortable, then have a talk with him about it. And if it's not, have your back and forth like you guys do at the party, and then maybe some people will learn some stuff about pegging. You can be like my pegging ambassadors in secret. But I am so happy for you too that he is so much more comfortable with the pegging and with asking for it. That's great. That's excellent. Thanks for writing back and letting us know how things are going. Here's my next letter. Hey, my name is TJ. I've had a little pegging experience with an ex. I haven't met anyone to get into it with since. I don't discuss it with friends, so I guess I'm looking for people who are into it to talk to. I don't really know how to find local people who are into it or how to bring it up to girls I meet in the real world. Laugh out loud. So this was from my forum on peggingparadise.com. And this is TJ from Florida. So TJ, this is a very, very common question. I'm glad that you're already into pegging and that you had some good times with it with an ex. And meeting someone to do pegging with is the most common question I get on my podcast, on my website, on all social media that I am on, which is quite a few. This is why I created the webinar, How Do I Find a Woman to Peg Me? So that is going to be happening in January, but there is a ton of information. If you check out my website, there is actually a tag that says, How do I find a woman to peg me? And there's a bunch of stuff you can read about that. But in my webinar, I bring all the information, success stories, advice, and hints from almost 10 years of being in the field of pegging and gathering all of these hints and information from everyone that I've talked to. All that's in the webinar. But that's pretty much it. In terms of talking to people about it and just becoming more comfortable with it and feeling like you're not the only one out there who likes it, the MeWe group, the discussion group that I have, is pretty active, or you can become a patron for $1 a month. And you can join the Discord channel, where there's quite a bit of active chat from people all over the world who really enjoy pegging or hope to. So those are two great options. And thank you for the question. Good luck with your search, and hopefully I'll see you at the webinar in January. Here is my next one. I love your site. It has provided great information and reassurance for me. I love anal stimulation. It started out as part of a sissy fetish. Once I felt the pleasure of anal stimulation, I was hooked. Now I like it even without sissy play. I love it in the ass, and I love to take the strap on. I'm a doctor and have a traditional masculine role in family and life, so strap-on sex is a release for me. I get to lie on my back, put my legs up, and get it really good. The orgasms are amazing. And it is signed Steph. Steph, wow, thank you so much for that letter. And reassurance is something I always hope to provide for anybody who's interested in pegging. So I'm glad you found it with my offerings that I have put out there in the world in my Ruby Rider empire. It sounds as if, Steph, that you may be able to make a contribution to my cross-dressing podcast because of the sissy play. So please feel free. And thank you for sharing the detail about you're a doctor and have a traditional masculine role in your family and life to reassure my listeners that, yes, the two are not mutually exclusive. What does that mean? That means they can coexist together. The having the legs up, lying on your back and getting it really good, and having a traditional masculine role in your family and life. So thank you so much for sharing that detail, and thanks for the letter. And now we have pegging celebration time. enjoy your podcast very much. My girlfriend and I have listened to it. I'm happy to say that she has opened up to pegging my ass, and I couldn't be happier. God damn, it feels good to be fucked. Oh my God, this is like the best pegging celebration time shortest thing I've ever read, and it's awesome. I'm so glad that she has opened up to pegging your ass and that you couldn't be happier. Congratulations, you two. Here's my next letter. When I was about 19, I lived in a studio apartment in an old single home where the girl that lived upstairs had to sort of squeeze up against my door on the first floor to open her door to the second floor. One evening, I was all alone, horny and jerking off. Didn't realize the door was a tiny bit ajar. When the girl from upstairs arrived home and went to lean in on my door, it popped open, and there I was, with a handful of lube and stroking, like 19-year-olds do. She double-took me, smiled, and walked in the room and took over. For the next few hours, she chased me around the room, sticking her fingers up my ass and giving me this pleasure I had never experienced before. I was out of my mind and loved it. She made me come 5 times. This was long before the internet, and I was young. I just thought she was special. She moved a few weeks later, and that was the end of that. It wasn't until years, decades later, when at 50 years old, I had a pee problem, where when I thought I was done peeing and put him away, he continued on, leaving me with a nice wet spot and dribbles down my leg. I began researching and found prostate massage, but nowhere to legitimately get a prostate massage. As I read deeper into prostate massage, I learned of the deep pleasure. The light bulb lit, and I instantly knew what that girl so long ago knew that I didn't. Now I want treatment for my drippy pee and all the pleasure I remember. Was amazed to find this site, and I'm looking to enjoy it. Cheers. And this was on the forum, and it was hello from Southeast Pennsylvania. Wow, I am so glad that you found my website. Yes, prostate massage can be really, really helpful for that pee problem. No question about it. But how interesting that the light bulb went on and you went, oh, no wonder that felt so good. Now you have a whole new territory of sexual exploration to check out, whether solo or with a partner, because you don't really say if you have a partner or not. But even if you don't, there's lots of pleasure to be had and so many amazing toys. But best of all, there's relief from the prostate issue. Just last podcast, or maybe the one before, there was a man who had been using a vibrating butt plug to see if it made a difference on how many times he had to get up per night to pee, which is another symptom of swollen prostate. And it's really helping, and he's starting to sleep through the night. So yes, prostate massage from one way or another, whether it's manually with a toy, whether it's getting pegged, whether it's a vibrating butt plug, a vibrating prostate massager that you hold. There's so many different ways to do it. Do I know of any way to find someone who does prostate massage? No, not really. That happens so rarely. Occasionally you can find someone who does it under the supervision of an MD, but it's so rare to find these days, and I'm very sad about that. You probably can find professional workers, sex workers, who will do that, absolutely. But far be it from me to suggest that you go and do something illegal, right? But if you were looking to do something like that, you would get on Google and put in prostate massage, escort, and the city you live in, and see what happens. Just see what you come up with, and you might be able to find someone. I'm going to put a link to a few of the prostate massager toys that I consider to be the best ones in case you are going to be looking for something for solo use. There's the Eneros, the Enjoy Pure Wand, the Loki Wave, and some vibrating butt plugs. You're going to have a choice of about 5 or 6 different links to look through and see if any of those appeal, if that is the direction you are headed in. Welcome to Pegging Paradise, and have fun. If you have any other questions, please do let me know. Oh, and by the way, I wanted to let you know that I did one entire podcast on swollen prostate, PSA, prostate cancer, all of that different stuff. And it might be really helpful to you to listen to that. I mean, if you already know about it and you've researched the hell out of it, then awesome. But it's possible that that's something that might be of interest to you. So I'm going to put the link for that in the Linkorama. And when I say the Linkorama, since you are brand new, what that means is on Pegging Paradise, when I post up my podcast, which you can stream directly from my website, I put the links there that I talk about in the podcast. So whether I'm talking about a past interview that I've done, a past podcast I've done, equipment that will help the person who sent in a particular question, articles and information about something else they're asking about, all of those links are underneath the posting of the podcast itself. And I have nicknamed that the Linkorama. So there you go. Thanks for writing in, and cheers to you too. Here's another letter from Michael, and it's very short, but it has a really awesome link. It says, perhaps this is why so many of us get that euphoric feeling from pegging. And the link goes to a place called basmati.com, and it's an intro to the vagus nerve connection. And this is like the chakras and the kundalini and stuff like that. And it's a really interesting read if that is a way that you connect with health and the world and knowledge and things like that. It's a different lens to view the vagus nerve from. So it's a very interesting read. I'm going to put that in the Linkorama as well, because, and I think I'm going to include that link when I do the advanced webinar. That's because it everybody relates and responds to and resonates with different approaches. And someone who has that approach and does yoga and knows about the chakras and the kundalini and tantra and things like this might really enjoy that article, because I found it fascinating. That's not the way that I look at things. But to have more information is awesome. So thank you so much, Michael, for sending that in. And yes, the euphoric feeling from pegging, I do think, has a fair amount to do with the vagus nerve. Absolutely. And here's my next one. The subject line of this says, thanks to podcast number 112, the pegging is about to begin. Hi, Ruby. I'd like to begin by describing how prostate orgasms feel to me. First of all, I've tried many different dildos and anal toys solo, and for me, the one that works the best is a curved G-spot dildo. The best position for me is on my left side and working the dildo with my right hand from behind. I start slow with the curve aimed forward so it rubs my prostate on its way in and out. As the pressure builds inside my ass, my hand speeds up. My first orgasm usually takes about 5 or 6 minutes to start. The first one is usually equal in intensity to a penile orgasm, in intensity and length, maybe 20 to 30 seconds long. But then the fun really begins. From that point on, they just get stronger and stronger. The pleasure wave continues to build, starting in my abdomen and lower back, working its way all the way up my body. My body gets super warm. My legs tense and vibrate, my ass tightens, my abdomen tightens, my breath grows quicker, my moans grow deeper and louder, my abdomen releases, my ass lips swell, my mouth opens, my eyes roll back, and my cock drips a ton of prostatic fluid pre-cum. I've videotaped myself many times, and while I look like I'm in pain, it's intense pleasure, not pain, that I'm feeling. It's so incredibly pleasurable, so intense. I can easily have 30 to 40 orgasms in an hour session, maybe more. Who can count at a time like that? Unlike PIV orgasms, where it's usually one and done, it's not unusual for me to experience a 2-minute-long orgasm, only to feel the next one build up just 30 seconds later. It's fucking amazing. While I drip a lot of fluid, I've only fully ejaculated once so far, but riding the orgasmic wave for an hour or two is so intense, I don't even care. I've been exploring my prostate for about a year, but it wasn't until recently that I got up the nerve to confide this to my wife. We live apart much of the year due to work, so I've had plenty of time to learn about my body and the, until recently, hidden pleasures my ass had to offer. I explained to her that first and foremost, I absolutely love her, making love with her, and the way she tastes when she squirts in my mouth. Then I proceeded to explain that I love to play with my prostate and that I am multi-orgasmic like her. I told her that, unlike during PIV sex, where it's usually one and done, I can orgasm 30 to 40 times easily in an hour of solo play with her curved G-spot dildo, and the way each orgasm seems stronger than the previous as I ride the ever-building wave of pleasure. I explained that while I absolutely love fucking my ass with a dildo, I have no desire to be with a man, but I do want to get fucked by her. Then, on our way to an evening out, I had her listen to your podcast, number 112, with me in the car. I paused it numerous times to discuss what you were saying and to reinforce that I wanted to do this with her. When it was finished, she said, "Wow, okay, let's try it." Since we already have a large assortment of dildos, we only needed to add a harness, which we now have. A couple weeks went by as I quietly waited in anticipation, not wanting to pressure her at all. Then one night last week, while making love, she asked if I wanted her to get the harness out and fuck me. Of course I did, but I still didn't want to rush things, so instead of having her peg me, I asked her to suck my cock while I used my Nexus Evo prostate vibrator in my ass. I figured this would be an easier introduction to playing with my ass, and since there was no advance notice, there would be less chance of any mess that might turn her off the first time. The combination of the vibrations, the wiggling probe, and her beautiful mouth brought me to such an intense orgasm. I came so much that it looked like soap in her hands as she continued to stroke my cock. She was amazed at the amount of cum that I produced. We discussed it afterwards. I explained how fucking amazing it felt and how I appreciated her doing this for me. She said she didn't know what to expect, but she loved the way I moaned uncontrollably and how my cock exploded with so much cum. I'm happy to say we're both looking forward to the first time my wife slides her cock into my ass. She said she'd like to try it when we get back together later this month. Get the music ready. Thanks again for podcast number 112. Wow. Oh, wow. So smart, man. Realizing that there may be a mess, that it was the first time, boy, you put some thought into this, or you at least responded quite well in the moment because she said it and you didn't really have much of a chance to prepare. So good on you for saying, you know what, how about we do this as an introduction, kind of. I'm quite proud of you for making that decision, because in that moment, how difficult was that to say, no, don't strap it on, let's just do this instead. Smart man, very smart man. And your description of how you listened to it in the car and stopped it numerous times to reinforce things and discuss things, you know, that's what I picture. And I've said that many times on the podcast about, you know, you can stop it once in a while. Like I said, well, does your partner want you to cross-dress? I don't know. You can ask your partner that, and you can pause the podcast and you can talk with your partner. Is this something you want? No, I really don't want to cross-dress. Or yes, I really do want to cross-dress. That's something that's awesome. That's exactly what I picture. What was very funny about when I read the whole thing, I'm like, that's a kind of a long podcast. How far of a drive were you going out to dinner? Did you guys end up parking or what happened, right? Because I'm thinking that's a long drive to go out to dinner. I think of weird things sometimes. I am so happy for you two and frankly amazed at how responsive you are and a little bit jealous. Sure, I can say that. At how responsive you are and how multi-orgasmic you are. It's really, really amazing. Really amazing. That's just it, all you listeners out there. There's such a wide spectrum of responsiveness. You know, like there's women who get off with just the base of the dildo over their clitoral area when they fuck their partner. And there's ones like me that, who knows, might never get off because the level of vibration I need is like a magic wand, right? And we're all okay. Every single one of us is okay. It's not like I am faulty for not being able to come while I fuck someone, or that any other receiver out there is somehow faulty for not being able to have 30 to 40 orgasms in 2 hours. However, we can be jealous, sir. We can definitely be jealous. I am really, really happy for you guys and can't wait to play the music for you. Thank you so much for the letter. This next one I found on Reddit, and I wanted to read it for you guys who are sort of right in the beginning of discovering all this. This was posted in the Reddit Sex, and the title said, "Straight Male. I tried anal toys, and it's greatly changed my perceptions." And here's what he wrote. "I'm a 31-year-old straight male. I had no interest in even trying anal with a female partner. In fact, anal porn was a major turnoff to me. Something sparked in me, though, and I suddenly had an urge to try it. For myself. I tiptoed around some websites looking at a few options before I got impatient and went to a store and bought a dildo. The one I bought was one I thought wouldn't be too big nor too small. It coincidentally is right about my size. This was kind of a weird moment, really, but it also worked in a way. I would be able to experience, to an extent, what my partners would experience. Of course, not ever having been penetrated, I was not quite ready for my purchase. I worked up to it and finally made it. The whole experience opened up so many doors for me, from what my ex had probably gone through our first time having sex, to a much more empathetic view of penetrative sex in general. I know maybe not all guys are down for it, but for any that are open-minded, I suggest trying it at least once. Don't worry, it doesn't suddenly make you gay if that is your fear. I still have zero interest in men sexually. I can simply admit I have an orifice I have filled, and it was an experience that changed me." Yes. Isn't that great? I thought you guys would really enjoy that, because especially the part about how he ended up buying a dildo that was about the same size as him, and he thought, well, so this is what she's experiencing when I fuck her. It's awesome. So I hope you enjoyed that. That was on Reddit. And the last thing I have for you is a comment. Your tagline, "Shame is the silent saboteur of sexual satisfaction," is so rich in meaning. I would love for you to devote time in elaborating its deeper meaning. Oh my goodness. Well, that is something I can go kind of deep on, because shame is really, really destructive. I think the person who writes the best about shame is Brené Brown. There are two TED Talks that I'm going to, once again, I think it must be the fourth or fifth time I've done this, put the link for those in my Linkorama. One of the most important distinctions that Brené Brown makes is that guilt is feeling bad because you did something wrong, right? Maybe you said something wrong, did something wrong, what have you. Shame is feeling like you are bad. So guilt is you did something bad. Shame is feeling like you are bad. This is why shame is so destructive. Shame is like, I'm a bad person. I'm somehow defective. I'm wrong. I'm, you know, you get the gist of what I'm saying here. So to attach shame to a sexual thing you like to do, either solo to your own body or with a partner, is ridiculous. That is not where shame should be. But the conditioning that we get from society about that box they want us to stay in sexually can create so much shame in us. This is why I work so hard on the hashtag no shame. This is why I do things like I make that audio recording of reassurance for men who are worried that they just found pleasure in their ass and what that might mean. So moving on from the first word, shame, silent. Well, yeah, if you have shame, the vast majority of the time, you are not talking about that shame. Shame is isolating. Shame makes you pull into yourself and feel like you're bad. It's not like you run around and talk about it to all your friends, like, oh my God, I have so much shame about this thing. It is by nature very, very isolating, and that is equally as harmful. So you feel bad, you feel like you're a bad person, and you isolate and don't tell anybody about it. So saboteur, well, yeah, it's going to fuck up your sexuality and a bunch of other things in your life, maybe. But yes, definitely the silent saboteur of sexual satisfaction, because if every time you fantasize about, watch porn about, or actually engage in this particular activity that you have shame about, because shame can be all kinds of different things, but in this context, in this situation, we are talking about sexual stuff. And, you know, enlarge that to be whatever you'd like. I felt shame for a while about pegging, absolutely. I felt like I was bad and weird and different and strange. And wow, I put those judgments on myself, not on the activity even, on myself, because I thought I was bad to fantasize about those weird and strange and different, that it turned me on to the point where I was ashamed. This is why I hid it for so long. And again, there's the isolation. I didn't want anybody to know. And when I did tell people, it was with so much shame that it was almost guaranteed they were not going to explore it with me. So was I getting any measure of good sexual satisfaction? No, because I felt like I was bad. I felt like what I wanted was embarrassing. And I encountered this over and over and over again in this realm that I have created, tried so hard to be reassuring and help you to know that you are not the only one who likes this, that there's absolutely nothing wrong with liking it, that it has absolutely no bearing on your sexual identification, and that you are a perfectly fine human being who enjoys pleasure because of anal stimulation. Now, I can't make any comments about what kind of person you are because I don't know you. The point being, though, is that this activity that you enjoy, this type of stimulation that your body loves, does not make you a bad person. And if there was one magic wand that I had, right alongside the one to find all you guys who want partners to peg you, right? This one actually takes precedence over that. If I had to choose between one magic wand and I could only choose one, right? And it could just do one thing. It would be to take the shame away. It really would. Because the shame is so, so harmful. It truly is. Finding a partner is something that can be done eventually if you do it the right way. And hopefully my webinar will be teaching you guys how to do that who are interested in checking out all that information. But shame can affect you physiologically too, I'm quite sure. With the isolation, with the pulling in, with the embarrassment, it's so destructive. Really, to live your happiest life, it's not pulling in, it's opening up and going out. Okay, now back to my mantra. You guys have heard me talk about this before too. And once again, where this came from is a tiny little book written long ago called The Lazy Man's Guide to Enlightenment. And I am absolutely paraphrasing, because I do have the little book, and it doesn't say exactly this. I finally looked it up again and said, what does it exactly say? So I am paraphrasing. But in each and every moment, every single one of us has the chance to either expand with love or contract with fear. Think about shame. That is so contracted. You are absolutely contracting with fear. You fear about what people will think of you. You fear you're not a good person. You fear there's something wrong with you. Open with love. Love yourself and love that you have found another way to have amazing pleasure, perhaps another way to bond with your partner, another way to open up to the side of you that you don't have the opportunity to open up when you walk around in most of the other areas of your life, an opportunity to express your vulnerability. So, so many things. I could go on, clearly. But yes, this is kind of what all that means to me. The fact that it has phenomenal alliteration just pleases the fuck out of me as a writer. I totally, totally love it. So at some point in time, I might register that quote because it's absolutely mine. Absolutely. So thank you for asking. Yes. My tagline, shame is the silent saboteur of sexual satisfaction. And I have that printed on the back of my cards. I do. Earlier in my life, when I was doing something that had nothing to do with sexuality, I sat next to a lovely man on a plane who was a bit of a genius in marketing and things. And he made it clear in a way that was quite humble, because we had a very nice conversation. And at the end of it, this is when he told me all this. And he said, you know, if I can ever help you with your business or anything like that, please do let me know. He was what I remember about the experience was that he was an unusual looking man, someone that you might sort of look at and go, oh, I don't want to sit next to that guy. But I recall having that immediate impulse and stopping it and just being pleasant and having a lovely conversation. And I think he was just really thankful. And I don't really even recall the specifics about exactly what he looked like, but it was unusual. It was unusual enough to where you might have that knee-jerk reaction, you know? So he made this wonderful offer of, if you ever need help with marketing, just let me know. And he asked to see my business card, and he looked at it, and I'll never forget this part. He said, you don't have any pain points. And I said, excuse me? He said, you don't have any pain points. You need to list pain points that are ways that what you do can help someone. And this was a whole nother career that I was in, so that part's not important. But if I take that concept and I bring it forward to the card that I have now, right there, all across the back of the card, points out the pain. Shame is the silent saboteur of sexual satisfaction. You can find my work at peggingparadise.com, where I have my blog, my podcast, my erotica, and the forum. Pegging 101 has informational pegging articles only with no kink. My podcasts are available through a variety of podcast downloader apps, and you can find a sampling of those under the tab Follow on my website. You can also stream my podcast directly from my website if you want to. The Follow tab has links for you to subscribe to my blog, follow me on Twitter, check out my Facebook page, my MeWe page. And if you order any sexy new toys from EnticeMe.com, because the holidays are coming and presents of sex toys are fucking awesome, please remember to use the coupon code RIDER for 15% off of your purchase. Send your questions to Ruby at PeggingParadise.com. No question is too dull, too divine, or too divisive. Ha ha. Many listeners are going to learn along with you, so don't be shy. Throw those questions in my mailbox or call me and leave your question at 805-500-6544. And by the way, if you send a text to that number, I cannot answer you unless we are connected on Skype. And I don't want to connect with a zillion people on Skype, because that is one more place I have to attend to and answer things with. I mean, this just doesn't work, you guys. Don't send a text. Leave a voice message, okay? Thank you. And thank you also for downloading and listening, everybody. You rock. Happy pegging. #NoShame.